Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you here, and we hope you're having a good day. We are very excited to welcome to our broadcast for the very first time, and as we kick off part one of an exclusive two-part series with Dr. Lori Anderson. She's extraordinary what she does. She has such great passion and thirst for life and empowering people in such a beautiful way. She's a psychologist and a coach. She has a message for the exhausted working women of America. She says, let's not stay frustrated, sad, or self-critical. Let's get smarter. Let's learn how to do better where it matters most in our lives. And let's get the haters out of our heads and get back where they belong, wherever that is. An executive coach specializing in leadership strategy, career planning, and personal effectiveness, Dr. Anderson has worked with hundreds of women across all levels of responsibility, at work or at home. She is relentless in her drive to help clients do and feel better. Dr. Anderson is also a licensed clinical psychologist and PhD in applied social psychology with over 20 years of consulting and coaching with individuals, corporations, and not-for-profit organizations. And during her 20 years as a single working mom herself, Dr. Anderson built a solid coaching practice with senior leaders in big organizations as well. And these were the folks who would hire her on the spot, pay her well, care about her advice, and not expect her to attend meetings or meals after 3 p.m. when her boys got home from school. Kind of genius, she says, looking back on her career strategy. Who knew how very relevant, compelling work, time, place, flexibility would be, especially in 2020 and 2021? So as you can see, this was not and is not standard advice, but Dr. Anderson is committed to getting ahead of the curve of average stress and really forging new paths while balancing stage of life needs and acceptable risks. Dr. Anderson leads us into a conversation about possibility, supported by science and actual practices, not just her own, but others she has coached. Her website is www.dr, and that's the abbreviation, that's DR, Dr. Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, Anderson.com, drlorianderson.com. We'll mention that throughout the broadcast and on part two as well. But without further ado, let's welcome live and direct from Illinois and Oak Park, our very special guest. Again, this is part one of an exclusive two-part close-up radio series. Dr. Lori Anderson joining us today. Welcome, Doctor. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. I am excited to talk with you and everybody who's listening. I have an uplifting set of messages, and I know I needed uplifting messages even, you know, before 2021 as someone who was trying to do it all and do it well and please everybody and at work and at home, and, you know, that brought me right into a wall. So I'm excited to talk about the things that I've uncovered that have made a difference for me and others.
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of it all, because people can relate to that. You know, as applied psychologist trained to bring most relevant science and solutions to, you know, everyday people in real settings, you chose work, leadership, women, working parents, which I think is fantastic. You're, as I mentioned, also a clinical psychologist, all this wonderful background that you have to work with people, but also on a human level, on a very connected, relatable level. Tell us about some of those early inspirations for you along the way, Doctor, that sort of gave you this indication that this is work that not only are you wanting to do, but you really have to do it. It's reflection of the essence of who you are, wanting to inspire and uplift and empower others to find that light within themselves or reignite that flame of the joy of life.
That's such an important question, because I was kind of the prototype for the clients I served, which is on the outside. If you looked at my bio, or you might have seen me walk by with matching clothes, you would see, oh, she's a PhD psychologist. She's got her own business. And the issue was, it's not how I felt. I felt behind. I felt stressed. I felt like if I made it through a day, a week, a deadline, the next one was right there. And it really came to me. I'm in my kitchen, and I'm a single working mother, and I owned the economic support for the two children. And I just say that because so many of us understand financial pressure. And I'm in the kitchen. It's been a long day, and I'm cooking. I kind of only know three things. And my boys come, you know, home from school and soccer or whatever, and they look at what I'm cooking, and they're like, yuck, you can't be chili again. And I turn around, and you know, I'm not proud of this exactly, parents out there, but I turn around, and I said, you know what? Nowhere is cooking on my report card. Nowhere. And by the way, you know, give me a C. I'm good with that. There are other things that matter more to me to get an A in. And that was the moment. Now, they turned around and went and watched TV. But I had this moment of like, why do I feel bad because they're bored with chili? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And it was that moment of, I'm going to write my report card. I'm going to decide where I will excel. Because you know what I will not do? I will not work all day through the night, 7 days, and please nobody, and disappoint this one and not get it done. I'm going to get some C's, but let them be in the areas I choose. And until there's a knock at the door, you know, from a protective agency that's going to take my children away because they're malnourished, and they don't do that, by the way, when they're just bored, I'm going to do this thing.
Right.
And then I had to come up with my parental report card. And I say this in front of people, and they're always like, well, what was it? Because I don't have one, so we all need one. That was my moment. Pick my A's and let the other stuff do good enough. There's a phrase we don't hear enough. Is this good enough? Is it good enough? And lots of examples. That was my moment. And I went forward, and I used this with, you know, everyone just to say, hey, I'm not going to tell you what your report card should be, but it better not be getting on top of your emails. It better not be, you know, pleasing everybody. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that's a beautiful journey, and it's just re-enhanced. I mean, the educational background, the technical background, the skill set are all there in place, but it's really coming from the essence of who Dr. Laurie Anderson is, this strong desire to want to take it further in the deep way that you do, which I think is absolutely sensational. Let's talk about some of that process and some of the folks that you are working with, this process of refinement. You're already working with people or high performers.
Right.
Tell us about the process. Initially, do you do an assessment, or how does it work from the beginning? And tell us a little bit about some of the things that you see people are dealing with today that you help them through.
Great question. And it's the refinement is so important. I work with high achievers, top performers, people, which are not better people, by the way. It's just, it was an income stream for me. So let me be clear. I'm at the end of that client part. So I support anybody. I ran to a woman I used to know, Reiki, and she's an amazing you know, director of a nonprofit, and she's married to a man that also leads a nonprofit. They are these good people. They have three children. And she's out there on a Saturday, and she's raking, and I go up, and, you know, we're all vaccinated here, so it was a big hug, and I said, how are you? And she looked at me apologetically. She said, I'm not on top of things. I'm like, what? On top of things. So the first part of the process, almost without exception, and I don't need a questionnaire for this, and that has been helpful because my clients tended to be senior people who had like a minute for me. You know, these are not people that are hiring me to move in with them, you know, give them questionnaires. They were like, what can you offer me that will make me better and more effective today? So I got really good at getting to the essence in a nutshell. Here's the thing. Here's the headline. Try this. So with Prish, who was out in her yard raking, and I said, so what's most important right now? Your kids are just back in school. She's trying to figure out staying remote or not. It's been a year and a half in the house with three children and two professionals. Not that big a house, by the way. And she's like, I got to get my arms around it. And I said, I'm so glad you said that, because that should appear nowhere, a report card. And even right. And when we were in school, at no point, it wasn't history, English, and then everything. And that's not how the report cards were set up. So I said, so what is it that matters most when you look back and say, boy, we had an 18-month lockdown pandemic, wild world, unprecedented. What do you want to be able to say? And then she stopped and said, well, I think that we all learned from this. I said, great. So what would help you ensure that there was family learning? She's like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, how about a dinner topic? It was simpler. It was more accessible. And that's what I do. I ask people what matters most. There tends to be some stress there, psychologically, bottom line. Remember, I'm sort of a bottom line person by necessity, and I did have teenagers, so this helped too. You know, bottom line, stress is a feeling of inadequacy. It's a judgment. So let's look at that, maybe revise it, refine it, as you said, Jim, and pick something else. I had a life and death kind of moment for a story, if it's okay to share that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I have two children, and one, my firstborn, had something wrong with his body. He was breaking bones from doing simple things. It wasn't boys being boys. He would kick a ball, and he was in the emergency room. Anyway, long story, went through this for years, and nobody could explain what it was. And I had just hit my limit on being worried all the time. So I had arranged a consultation with a, you know, health organization where you can go there and they bring in experts and they evaluate what the problem might be, because nobody locally. So I'm excited that I set this up. I made a plan. We had airline tickets. We were going together to Cleveland. And the day before, I'm a wreck. I'm scared, I'm tense, and I'm making my son cry, which is not a measure of success. And I'm sitting there thinking, I chose this. What am I afraid of? That stress thing. What do I feel so unable to handle here? And the first thought was, I may find out that this is fatal, that he's not going to live. And I thought, well, that would be awful, of course. Is that it? Not, of course, that's bad enough. But I stayed there, and I went a little deeper, and I thought, well, actually, if he dies, I don't think I'd make it. I think I would pack it up and go. Is that it? That he dies, I die. And I'm sitting there thinking, what about the other guy? Like, I had two children. Mm-hmm. And there's that transforming moment where I thought, well, I can't do that. I can't leave the other one. Like, I can't do that. So I had this sense of, what can I do? What can I do? I can't control the diagnosis. I can't control his journey. I can control who I am in this moment. And my superpower is I'm kind of funny. I mean, my children are not that convinced, but I think I'm kind of funny. So I made a decision that I wasn't going to make my child cry. I was going to lighten up, and we were going to have somewhat of a fun time over this week in Cleveland. And long story short, he says to this day, he's in his 30s, he says, we'll always have Cleveland. So he lived. It was a scary diagnosis, but it's not fatal. That's what I'm talking. There's a pivot. There's a moment that you say, I have agency here. I have agency. And here's what matters most to me. So I do this. My clients do this. It's, what is it? Name it. Write it down. Here's the process, Jim, that matters a lot. They have to write it down because we have a very busy brain called monkey mind, that there's a ding that goes off, and it's an email. And right now, Jim, you, me, everybody who's listening, somebody's disappointed on our email chain because we've not responded, I promise you. Where are they? Anyway, that's the process. Right. It's kind of simple but profound.
That's sensational. Really, really is, Doctor. You know, I just can hear the passion in your voice for and the love for this work that you do. You know, we all have our different measures of success and our own definition of what success really is. The word success can motivate people, but it can also scare people, not knowing what success really is, because it means so many different things to different people. What is your particular measure of success, Doctor?
Well, I love how you talked about the word success and how it is such a big bucket for a lot to put in. Does it mean rich? Does it mean famous? Does it mean everybody, you know, thinks I'm amazing, I'm on TV? And I just, does it mean thin? Let me just add that, because I was like, I don't look right. You know, I need to, you know, dress that, all those, and by the way, that was a cooking issue. So I love that you say, boy, how do we narrow that? For me, I began being attached to the word effective. And effectiveness to me meant I delivered something that was most important. And so in my parenting, what did I say was most important to deliver? And if you've had children, you know, it's not 20 years of standing ovations, right? So they may sometimes disagree. One of my, on my report card for my boys, and we called it the four L's, because I added a little alliteration, so they rhymed. And one of them was loving. I want us to be loving. And my son raises his hand. For some reason, we're at the kitchen table. He thought he was at school. Raises his hand. He says, well, that's not fair. I'm a big brother. I get to torment my little brother. And I said, you sure do, but in your family, but in my family, it's going to be loving, and I'm going to deliver that. So do you see what I mean? Like, what was success? Who's deciding? I hope it's us. With my clients, I look for that aha moment, which I got from Trish, who was Reiki. She emailed me and said, oh, my gosh, I feel so much better. So there's that moment, not that I solved it, but I gave a path to thinking about it that they could use again and again and again and again, again and again. What am I trying to deliver that would make me feel effective? And my clients will say, you taught me something. I will think about it different. I love it when they say I'm awesome. I actually just heard from a woman I met when she was a director, which is a certain level in U.S. corporations, and now she's a senior executive at Starbucks. She sent me a message saying, I still do the pick your A's thing, because when I first met her, she was, you know, she's got three kids at home, and she's a director, and she's in a four-day training in Chicago, and she lived in Rhode Island, or, And she's just saying to me, oh, my gosh, I want to learn everything you have to teach me. And I said, well, that's a problem. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Tell me what matters. And I was, what do you want to get an A in? And she's like, well, everything. I said, well, that's a, you know, we're not doing that. So she still uses it. That's kind of cool. That's kind of
That's fantastic, huh? Isn't that great?
So
She actually still applies that? Yeah, yeah. And she probably pays it forward in extraordinary ways as well, which is beautiful. You know, from the moment you start, I imagine there's a demand on you to, like for all of us, compartmentalize ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, in your case, you raise children, but somehow not relevant. How do you feel accomplished when, you know, you're two completely different people at the same time? There's the home life, the work life, you know, all the different quote-unquote masks that we wear and roles that we play. It can really get a little blurred for people, right?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, those are moments like we have to grab the narrative. You know, my best example of that is I got divorced. And, you know, being divorced as a psychologist is not kind of like a brand builder. Like, hey, I know about people. And I just, you know, got rid of my husband. So that's not good. So you got to grab the narrative. And what I did is I did the divorce really well. Like that to me was I am into effective. I'm into it here, there. And I did not meet people who felt separated. They might have seen the expectations different when they're in a, you know, a corporate, you know, setting and they're reporting into a senior person. During the pandemic, for example, it was just, you know, how do I keep sitting, you know, the companies that were selling a lot of delivery pizzas and there were others that were, you know, had no customers, you know, how do I feel effective at work? But nobody that I worked with had a granite container that protected them from the morning they just had or the evening they were walking into. Does that make sense? So I had to find some umbrella. For me, it was effectiveness. So when I got divorced, again, not my proudest moment, but it was a good thing. My exes were very, we had the good divorce before it was famous. And here we are, and I said, I have to do this really well. And then I did the research and found out what, I'm a little geeky, so bear with me. You know, I don't expect people to be reading all day. I love to, but I had to figure out, you know, what experts say are the trauma points for children 6 to 12, which my children were in that range. And they gave me the four things. And one of them, for example, was that parents don't want to talk about it with their kids because they think talking about it makes it worse. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that. So I had this thing on dinner. It was called Divorce Talks. So we'd get together, the four of us, and my ex, who I am close with still today, and we would say, okay, so what are your questions? What are you worried about? I remember this vividly. The six-year-old raises his hand. And he says, well, how tall is the Sears Tower? And my older son says, that's the stupidest question. And then he started to cry. And then I thought, okay, so here's what we're learning. There's a lot of emotion in divorce. So we grabbed it. Does that make sense? We grabbed the narrative. We're not going to do separate. We're going to grab it. I am one person. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So the sense of
how tall is the Sears Tower?
You know what? I don't know to this day, and we've got Google. So you know what? Google it.
I think that's a great question.
I know. I'm like, what?
Yeah, soaring to new heights.
I know. There you have it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, and again, I wanted to let folks know that, because we have a couple minutes left here, you'll be back for part two. Next week as well, so we look forward to that. But got a couple minutes here. Let's talk about how you negotiate. You're writing a book on this subject, huh? And congratulations.
Yes.
Writing a book is not the easiest of tasks, but can be really glorious when complete.
And I hope to live to see it. It's really harder than I thought, FYI. and I ask everybody to be patient. It's coming. But the negotiation, and actually the way I've named it, is renegotiation at work. And that has to do with this moment, which I didn't know about when I started this, but we've been given this period of reflection for those of us who had our work upended by the pandemic and even just sort of the 21st century of everything happening all the time, to step back and say, huh, what do I now need this stage of life? You know, I'm in my 60s now and children aren't home, different than when my children were home. What do I need? And how might we renegotiate with my manager on extending what was great or better about the lockdown? For example, for a lot of people, it was, where do I work? For a lot of people, remote work was new, but it wasn't a brand new concept for many organizations, but it was for some. So how do I have that conversation? That's what I'm going to talk about. I will give people a script for them to try, modify. How do you bring it up? Should you wait till there's a company policy? The answer is no. How do I bring it up? How do I make it more important that we have a win-win? Here's what would make me even more effective. Here's what I know you, boss, need. Here's how I'm going to address that. So I'm going to give next week when we speak is how do you initiate that conversation? The moment is now, and I know a lot of us have never done that. So I want to help us do that. Don't miss the moment to rethink how we work and live and address our priorities. For some people, that may mean leaving. For many of us, it's adjusting it within the relationship we have right now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. Yes. And that starts with the relationship you have, with the reflection you see every morning in the mirror too, right?
Yes, it sure does. And there's an adjustment, and it has to do with your other insights about effectiveness. I get more work done when I have uninterrupted time, whatever that is. It's looking at it thoughtfully. Issue of flexibility in particular for parents is huge. For many folks, it's also how I get into a deeper, strategic, smarter space. You know, the research on that is it takes 45 minutes to go below the surface of what's happening. Like our brains need 45 minutes. Isn't that fascinating?
It is.
I walk into a meeting and I think we're going to be smart in 10 minutes. We're not. Does that make sense? We've got to
right.
go. So how do I do that? So these are all insights, but the employers, our partners, also care about these things. What I say about, you know, where we work is, you know, if being together was everything, marriages would do better, right? Because we're living together and, you know, whatever. So half of those fail. So apparently it's not the zip code. Apparently it's not the office load. Apparently there's something else in that dynamic that
right.
we can now say, let's optimize that.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Beautiful stuff. It really, really is. Yeah. It's so fascinating. And that's why I'm excited that there's a part two, and I encourage folks to tune in to that as well. And just really, really amazing. You love what you do. You're so skilled at it. A pleasure chatting with you. I can't believe the 30 minutes flew by in a New York minute. But, again, you'll be back next week, and we look forward to that. The website is drlaurieanderson.com, everybody. Doctor, and that's abbreviated, D-R, Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, Anderson.com. Dr. Anderson, thanks for joining me on this episode of the show. A true pleasure.
An honor for me. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome, and we look forward to part two coming up on Close Up Radio as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, and stay with us. We'll be back momentarily with another phenomenal guest as well, right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for joining us, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.